My Chick-fil-A story is not like a super happy one. I know, like, how can that even be? I don't know.
We all have lots of happy memories from inside the walls of Chick-fil-A, but today we're going to hear the story of one woman's Chick-fil-A memory that wasn't so great and how God used that experience to shape her life. Hey there, welcome to My Pleasure, the unofficial Chick-fil-A podcast. I'm your host, Allison Storm. I'm joined by Jim Mann. Jim, I'm curious, do you have any like upsetting Chick-fil-A memories?
You know, I would say no. It's always like Disney World to me, but until this morning.
What happened?
Well, I had to go out to do something, make a deposit at the bank or something like that. And I was starving. I thought, oh, it's 10:25. I won't make it in time to get in line and you know, breakfast will be over. So I thought, hey, I'll be smart. I'll order it on the app and pick it up before 10:30, right?
Yeah.
Brilliant. So I do that. I got the order in at 10:26. And by the time I pulled in, it was right at 10:30. And then it came up and said, we're sorry. Breakfast is over. We could not fulfill your order. Exactly. I was confused.
Even though you put it through the app before 10:30? Yeah. Oh.
Life didn't make sense anymore.
Wow. Well, you know, we are not about dogging Chick-fil-A, but I have a story too from recently. Should I share mine or does that make it seem like we're being
We'll wait
negative?
For another one. We'll spread it out.
Should I wait for mine? Okay. Yeah. I thought here you were just going to talk about the moment you realized the carrot raisin salad disappeared off the menu. I didn't know you were going to talk about like a real thing that just happened this morning.
Well, no. Well, the carrot raisin thing, I didn't even realize it was on there, so it didn't affect me a lot. But when the bagel left,
oh yeah,
I got a little upset until I realized, oh, wait a minute, I never ordered it. So
we did a whole episode on that.
Yeah, it's the first time I ordered it during that episode. It was pretty good. Now I miss it.
Yeah, but I thought you said you liked that other thing better.
Yeah, the other thing. What is it?
The egg white grill. Is that what you usually get?
I do like that one better, yes.
Yeah. Now I'm hungry for breakfast. So what did you end up getting, by the way?
I had to go to a bagel shop and get something.
So you didn't even get any Chick-fil-A?
No, I was a little upset at the moment. I'm over it now.
Okay. All right. You guys are good. You're not holding any, okay, grudges or anything like that.
Apparently, I didn't need breakfast is what they're saying. So they're always right.
That's true. It was a sign from God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go ahead and bring on our guest today. Erica Wiggenhorn is an award-winning author and the founder of Every Life Ministries. Her goal is to help you discover your unique purpose and embrace God's promises. She's doing that through a brand new book, Letting God Be Enough, Why Striving Keeps You Stuck, and How Surrender Sets You Free. Erica, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. It's fun to be here.
Oh, we're so glad.
Now, Erica, I was reading your book, if that's okay.
Oh, yes, and, absolutely.
There's 16 chapters, and there's a little section before, and it's called Let's Get Started. Now, I notice it took you to the second page, in fact, the fifth paragraph, to actually mention Chick-fil-A. What took so long? I'm a little confused.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, you know, I was already just really happy, Jim, that you started this episode off sharing that even Chick-fil-A can make mistakes every now and then. Because, you know, coming on here, I was kind of feeling like a little bit like an outcast. Because, I mean, my Chick-fil-A story is not like a super happy one. I know, like, how can that even be? I don't know. But yeah.
So tell us, for people who haven't read it, can you kind of sum up that scene in the book, that difficult conversation that you had at the booth in Chick-fil-A?
Yeah. So I was a teenager at the time. I mean, I know I still look like a teenager because that's what happens when you eat a lot of Chick-fil-A. You don't age.
Yes.
But I was a teenager at the time, and my manager at the clothing store where I worked, she walked me down to Chick-fil-A to to do my first job review over Chick-fil-A sandwiches. So now, of course, everybody's thinking, well, this has to be an amazing job review if she took you to Chick-fil-A, right? And it actually was. I had only worked there for 3 months, and she sat me down and she said, hey, I want to just take some time to let you know all the stuff you're doing well. And she was telling me how I was such a hard worker and I was so dependable. So see, like, I totally deserved this free Chick-fil-A sandwich from my boss. But then she went on to say, but you talk too much.
No.
Yes, I know. That's so weird, right? But anyway, the point being that even though she was telling me all these great things that I was doing, as I was sitting there chewing on my straw of my nice red Chick-fil-A straw, I was trying to feign and pretend like I was all upbeat and happy and confident. And inside, my stomach was actually in knots, because all I heard in that conversation is, you know what, Erica? You're doing a good job. You're just not doing good enough. Mm. And that had really kind of just been the whole mantra of my life. Like, you're not enough. You're not enough. You're not enough. You're not enough. And so regardless of the fact that I was eating the Lord's chicken and drinking the nectar of God, I still heard something negative, even though what she was saying was not negative at all.
So where did you go from there in that moment of insecurity?
Yeah, so really that insecurity just really led me to a whole lot of striving. You know, always striving, trying to be enough, always striving to make people happy, not letting them down. Perfectionism became a prison. Just always fearing that around the next corner was failure, or people were going to say, oh, honey, you're doing a good job, just not good enough. And I lived that way for years, even after many years. And I actually got my very first book contract from Moody Publishers. And I had already signed my second contract, but my first book had just come out, and I flew to Chicago and I was going to meet the team. And another Moody author and friend of mine were in our hotel room. We're buttoning up our coats, getting ready to head out the door to catch our cab. And I just broke out into a sweat, and my hands started shaking, and my stomach was in a knot all over again, just like it had been that day in Chick-fil-A. And I mean, this is like 20 years later, and still same thing all over again. And she was like, I was like, I can't go. Tell them I got sick or something. Like, you know, I can't go. I'm gonna show up there. They're gonna take one look at me and they're gonna go, oh, your Bible study's good, but not good enough. And she was like, oh, honey, you have imposter syndrome. We're gonna put an end to this right now. So I was like, what in the world's imposter syndrome? And she's like, Google it. So I did, and my face came up. I was right there on Google eating a Chick-fil-A sandwich. No, not really. But all the things I was feeling and thinking about myself, all the insecurity, all the striving, all the fear of failure, all the feeling like I'm not good enough, it was all just right there in bullet points for me to see. And, you know, she's like, we're going to Moody Publishers. They're going to love you as much as I do. Now, get out of this room right now, right? So we go, and I make it through the day. But that night when we got back to the hotel after doing the same thing that I'd done at Chick-fil-A, you know, feigning confidence, trying to be upbeat and enthusiastic and the whole thing, you know, I just put my head down on the pillow and I just sensed God say to me, you know, when are we going to deal with this in your life? When are you going to let me bring healing to this? Like, you have just allowed the enemy to rob you of all joy of every good thing that happens in your life. And when are we going to put a stop to this? We need to bring healing here. And so that really began my quest to start researching imposter syndrome and going to scripture and saying, who has imposter syndrome in the Bible? And what does God do about it there? And discovering some really interesting things about God and how much he loves us and how faithful he is to bring us to new levels of freedom in our lives. But God did a really sweet thing for me as I was working on this book. One day after spending all day sort of sitting in the scripture, looking at how God deals with our fear of inadequacy and imposter syndrome, and just going back and reimagining that day in Chick-fil-A. You know, same red booth, same outfit, same red straw in my sweet tea. And instead of sitting across from my boss in that red booth eating Chick-fil-A sandwiches, I'm sitting across from Jesus. And he just looks me in the eye and he smiles and he reaches across the table and he grabs my hands and he squeezes them and he says, do you believe I'm enough? Am I enough? And like, I mean, it's Jesus eating Chick-fil-A sandwiches. How can that not be enough? And so, of course, I'm like, yes, Jesus, of course you're enough. You're God. Like, you're, yes. And he just sort of leans in and he says, I made you. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I put you in this time, in this corner of the world, in this place on purpose. And if I made you and I'm enough, you're enough. And it was just this beautiful moment in my mind's eye of him just meeting me and redeeming that moment in my life that had always just caused me so much angst and had replayed over and over and over through the years. And him just basically saying, it's over. I've redeemed it. You're enough. You are more than enough because you are mine. And now I love Chick-fil-A even more than I ever did, if that's possible. I don't know.
Look, I jumped around your book a little bit because your book allows you to do that, right?
It does, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I started with the outward signs of inward belief, and I didn't realize how much like Moses I was. And I don't mean in a good way. We think about Moses as being this great man of God, and he was, but he's the most insecure person in there. I think we all can relate to him. Is that why you chose him?
Yes. I refer to Moses as the greatest self-doubter of the Bible because, I mean, like he argues with God and basically tells God, like, I'm not doing that. I can't do that. You are crazy, God, if you think I can do that, right? Like, who says that? But I mean, I've said that to God a lot of times. But on another note, do you think that like manna kind of looked like Chick-fil-A waffle fries? Because I'm sort of thinking it did.
Pretty much.
I have never thought about that. But now I really want some waffle fries.
Wow.
But yeah, I think it's just really beautiful the way God dealt with Moses with his insecurity and how instead of, you know, when Moses went to God and he's basically like, you know, who am I? Who am I to do this job for you, God? Like, who am I to be able to handle this? God did not unroll Moses's resume and give him a whole bunch of props and be like, well, here's the reason why you're the guy, Moses. And God certainly could have done that. I mean, there was a lot of cool stuff on Moses's resume to kind of make him qualified for this assignment, but God doesn't do that. He simply promised Moses his presence. And he's like, look, I'm going to be with you the whole way, dude. I got this. You're basically along for the ride. So just settle back in the big red booth and sip on your straw and watch what I'm going to do because I'm going to do some really amazing stuff, Moses, and I'm inviting you to be a part of it. And I think that's where we kind of get mixed up is we think that God somehow is dependent on us to perform at a certain level when in reality, God's just saying, you know what, I got this covered. I'm just inviting you to join me in the booth and experience something really amazing by being in my presence. And there's so much freedom in that.
What do you think is kind of the relationship between imposter syndrome and kind of fake it till you make it? Because I sort of see myself as a fake it till you make it person. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but like, just like what you just said, when you say yes to God, sometimes you don't feel like you don't really know why he's choosing you for that assignment, because surely there's got to be people that are better than it, but you're going to do it and know that he's with you and is going to give you the strength to get through whatever that assignment is. So in some ways that does sort of mean fake it till you make it. I don't know. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, that's such a great question, Allison. So I think really the main difference is the motivation, right? So like, are we faking it till we make it because we want people to view us a certain way? We want people to think that we're not afraid, or we've got it all together, or we don't struggle with insecurity. You know, if we're faking it till we make it because we're trying to kind of cast this alternative image of ourselves, then that's not of God. Some of the fake it till you make it is just the, you know, sitting before God and being like, man, I don't know what we're doing here. I'm not even sure why I'm here. but, you know, I trust you and I want to be a part of whatever you're doing, God. And so if you've invited me here, I'm going to just sort of, you know, put on a smile and say, let's go. You know, that's a whole different fake it till you make it, where you're really, you know, the feelings may not be there, but your faith is there. And you're not really, you know, you're not trying to fool anybody. You're just saying, man, God, I don't know. But I believe you're good and I trust your promises. And so, yeah, I'm here, like, do your thing. That's a little different than trying to kind of fool other people about what you're really thinking or feeling, or even trying to fool ourselves.
Yeah, that makes sense. So now that you have this fresh perspective and knowledge, as opposed to that moment where you were about to meet with the publishers, and you didn't feel like you were prepared or like the right person, can you tell us some things that you've gone through more recently where it was a different circumstance, but maybe you looked at it in a different light now that you had this knowledge that, you know, you were enough?
Yeah. So I think one of the main things that I've really found freedom from is just the feeling that I have to perform, right? That I have to perform at a certain level for people to like me, that if I let people down, you know, the earth is going to fall off its axis. You know, it's okay. I can't make everybody happy all the time, and that's okay. God doesn't even make everybody happy all the time, and he's perfect. So, you know, so I'm probably going to let some people down now and then. And it's really, you know, it's amazing how much that really plays into our relationships. It plays into the way I parent my kids. Like, instead of getting really upset when my kids are upset with me, I just say, well, you know what? They're going to be upset with me sometimes, and that's okay. Sometimes that's a sign of being a really great parent, when your kids are not happy with you. You know, realizing I am not the person put on planet Earth to secure my husband's eternal happiness. Only God is going to be able to fully satisfy my husband, and I'm going to love him the best that I can. But there's a God-sized hole in his heart, just like, you know, there's a Chick-fil-A sized hole in his stomach, that, you know, I'm not going to be able to fill. And that's okay. I'm not intended to. And same with my friendships. You know, I'm not going to be able to be there for every friend for everything that they need at all times. I was not created or intended to do that. I'm going to be the best friend that I can with the time and the resources that I have available. But I'm there's going to be moments where I can't give those people what they need. And it's okay to sometimes not give those people what they want, even if it makes them upset. So it brings a lot of freedom to our relationships. And I would argue it makes our relationships much, much healthier.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we return, Erica has more Chick-fil-A stories to share, including one about getting stuck in the play tube in a Chick-fil-A playground. I'm not joking.
Hey, Jim Mann here. You all know me as the social media guru. I've always owned the TikTok and the MySpace, leaving my mark and changing people's lives. That's who I am. Can't help it. But I don't want to intimidate anybody with my social media prowess, so let me get right to the point. Will you do us a favor and follow us on Facebook and Instagram? I'll make it easy. Just type in Chick-fil-A podcast in either one and boom, there we are. It's that simple. If you have any questions, just ask Allison. That's what she's here for. Me? I'm too busy social mediaizing. Well, welcome back. We're talking to award-winning author Erica Wiggenhorn, founder of Every Life Ministries. Now, Erica, you mentioned you have two teenage kids. They're perfect, I'm assuming.
Aren't all teenagers perfect?
Yeah.
Just ask any teenager, Jim. They will all tell you they're perfect.
And you also have three furry children that are adorable.
Yes.
Does that mean the others are not adorable?
Well, you can read that how you like. I prefer not to comment.
What kind of dogs do you have? Or are we talking about dogs?
We have two dogs, a giant and a mini Aussie doodle. And we also have a horse.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yes. Who also, I will let you know, the horse really likes the cherries on the milkshakes at Chick-fil-A.
How did you figure that out?
Well, we had milkshakes at the barn, and my daughter went in to start to tack him up. That's horse for put the saddle on. And I was standing there with my milkshake in one hand and her milkshake in the other hand that she had not started to drink yet. So the little cherry was just sort of floating right there on top. And Prince, who's the horse, who very much finds himself to be quite royal, sort of just bent over the barn door and licked up that cherry right into his mouth. And he looked pretty... He looked pretty pleased with himself after he did it.
And did you finish your milkshake?
I did, because it wasn't my milkshake. It was her milkshake. I was like, you kiss him. You can drink after him. It's fine.
Yeah, no big deal. Come on. You can't let that go to waste.
No way.
Now, are your kids of age where they could be getting jobs at Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, so our son is actually, he's actually turning 16 on Saturday, and we're talking about, dude, you need a job. And so, of course, Chick-fil-A is at the top of his list for places to apply. He's got several friends that work there, and he always jokes with his friends that work at Chick-fil-A that they never said my pleasure until they started working at Chick-fil-A. And I was like, well, you know, it'd be pretty cool if you got a job there and then you came home and I said, hey, Nate, I need you to empty the trash. And you said, my pleasure.
Oh, that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
That would be the best mom paycheck like ever.
Yes. And if he brought home like free nuggets or something at the end of a shift, that would be pretty awesome too.
That would. I think my pleasure in response to, hey, you need to do your chores, that still might actually trump the nuggets, but the nuggets would be awesome too.
So my cousin's daughter just got a job at Chick-fil-A. She's a teenager and she showed up to the interview wearing, I don't know where she got them, but like cow print pants and a red shirt. And I think that, like, you know, got her in because, I mean, how could they not hire her, you know? So
I know, but
just a little insider tip.
Okay. But are they making her like wear the cow costume on a no. full-time basis now? Because out no. in Phoenix, that costume's a little toasty.
Yeah. Although that would be fun once in a while.
Yeah.
Maybe not every shift. Now, I understand, like, when your kids were little, though, you took them to Chick-fil-A a lot, and the play area has some traumatic memories for you.
I know. You know, what is with me and all the Chick-fil-A trauma? Like, my son, the one who's getting ready to turn 16 soon, he was kind of the youngest in our little neighborhood group of friends. So we lived in North Carolina at the time. And in the winter, when it was kind of cold and icy out, you know, we'd take the kids to Chick-fil-A. So we're at Chick-fil-A and, you know, he's not even 2 years old yet. Okay. He's like about 18 months old. And so his little chubby legs are not long enough to actually get up on the first step of the platform to start climbing up into the tube. But he convinces a couple of the other little boys to put him up there. Well, you know, I was just relishing my Chick-fil-A minis in the booth and my cup of coffee. And I'm like, hey, they're in the play area. It's all good, right? So I don't notice this is happening. And then all of a sudden, you know, all the kids are coming back down and they're screaming and yelling and the thing. And I look in there and I'm like, I can't find Nathan. Where'd he go? So I go in there and I'm like, Noah, Luke, where's Nate? And they're like, oh, he's up in the thing. And all of a sudden I hear him start screaming, Mama! Mama! And I'm like, oh no. And I'm like, come on down, buddy. And he's like, no. And I'm like, oh, I know what this means. I know what this means. So I gotta climb up in the thing and pull my little chubby 18-month-old through the tubes and down the slide. And I was like, buddy, no, you cannot. Until you are big enough to climb up here yourself, you are not doing this again, or we are not coming back to Chick-fil-A. Like, I was really going to keep that promise, but, you know, we make empty threats all the time. So he's my wild child, and, he's had lots of Chick-fil-A experiences. Another time in the Chick-fil-A play area, he took off his diaper. That was super fun.
Oh, no.
he's going to kill me when this episode comes out, by the way.
Did they have to evacuate?
Yeah, we all did. It was awesome.
Wow. He won't kill you as long as he wasn't 12 when this happened.
No.
Okay. You'll be fine then. That is scary. We used to have a play area in the church where I was children's pastor with a two-story building of tubes. And that happened on a regular basis. I have to hose down everything. It was not pretty. I did not like that part of the job.
I bet. So I'm not alone. That's what you're telling me, Jim.
That is correct.
Oh, good. Good.
It is not the imposter syndrome.
Okay, good.
Well, it is time for another quick break, but when we come back, we're going to play Food for Thought with author Erica Wiggenhorn.
You guys, we got some 5-star reviews. Check these out. Thompson Fam writes, love this podcast and the heart that is behind it. Beck Fam 8 wrote, just discovered this podcast and love it. My daughter has worked at CFA for 7 years. CFA has been life-changing for her. These stories on your podcast are amazing. Keep sharing the good news. And JD Dude wrote, I love Allison and Jim so much. Great communication, and you can see their hearts in every episode. Aw, thanks, guys. We really do love reading your feedback, so don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, and we may just share yours on an upcoming episode.
Welcome back. It's time for Food for Thought. Erica, answer these 10 questions quicker than a trip through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru.
Yeah, let's go.
What's your favorite sauce?
Oh, the Chick-fil-A sauce.
What celebrity would you like to eat nuggets with?
I already ate nuggets with Jesus, Jim. Come on.
That was excellent.
Come on.
I am embarrassed. If you worked at a Chick-fil-A, what job would you like to do?
Oh, man. Well, not the cow and not cleaning out the children's area. We've already established that. I like to be the person that that swipes the credit card.
What? Good answer. What's your favorite milkshake flavor?
Peach.
All right. If you could only order one menu item for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Chicken minis.
What menu item have you never tried?
The bagel.
Oh, you missed your chance.
Oh, too late. Have you ever dressed up like a cow to get free chicken?
No.
How many points do you have on your Chick-fil-A reward app?
6,433.
Nice. How many nuggets do you think you can eat in one sitting?
Well, one time I made the mistake of ordering those party platters.
Oh, no.
How many nuggets are on the party platter, Jim? That's all.
Wow. Was it a party of one? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, yeah. So I ordered a couple party platters because my two teens were having a bunch of friends over. And so we ordered these party platters, and they took two of the party platters into the game room where, you know, the TV is and all the like video game consoles and everything. But they left one of them in the kitchen. So I'm cleaning up the kitchen, you know, washing a couple dishes, eating a nugget, drying some dishes, eating a nugget, putting away the drinks, eating a nugget, refilling the ice container, eating a nugget. Before I know it, that party platter is pretty much empty.
Wow. I think there's 120 on there.
It was several hours.
No problem. The important question, team nuggets or team strips?
Oh, I like the spicy strips. I'm not going to lie. That's what I usually order.
Wow. I got to go back to question three. What's your fascination with swiping credit cards?
Because it's super easy. I mean, like, is there... You can't really mess that up. I mean, if somebody messes up your Chick-fil-A order, like, that's kind of like a cardinal sin. I mean, look at how upset Jim got when he couldn't get his breakfast item.
Good point.
I don't want to be in charge of messing up somebody's Chick-fil-A order. I mean, that's like the ultimate joy killer right
there.
That's
valid point.
So true. But Jim is a curmudgeon,
what?
So it doesn't take much to get him upset.
Yeah, it's me.
Oh, my goodness. Erica, this has been so much fun. How can people connect with you?
Well, they can connect with me on my website, which is just ericawiggenhorn.com. And they can find a free devotional that goes along with the book, Letting God Be Enough, if they want to kind of check it out a little bit. So ericawiggenhorn.com. And then there's also on my website, a free ebook bundle they can download there. 50 Days to Intimacy with God, The Busy Women's Guide to Praying for Friends and Family, and What Jesus Wants Women to Know About God. So can head on over there and pick up some freebies.
That's amazing. And I also found your devotional on the YouVersion Bible app, and I loved going through it there too.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it is on YouVersion as well. Letting God Be Enough.
Awesome. And it's a really great book. I wish you the best with all of it.
Thank you so much, Allison. Thank you, Jim. It's been so fun being with you guys today.
Our pleasure. Well, thank you for joining us. And if you enjoyed today's show, please do what a Chick-fil-A team member would do. Politely pass this goodness on to a friend. Take a screenshot, share it on social media, and help us spread the word. Also, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, can you do me a favor? Pick up your phone, hit those 5 stars, and leave a review. We love reading them, and we'd love to read yours. Until next time, stay tender and saucy, my friends.
Special thanks to our sound engineer, me, and our co-host, also me. This episode of My Pleasure, the unofficial Chick-fil-A podcast, was written and produced by Allison Storm, but it was edited by me. For more information about me, visit manmadeproductions.com. That's man with two N's, madeproductions.com.